You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Brewski, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
In the days after Anna Walsh vanished, her husband sat down with investigators multiple times. He told them the marriage was happy. He said he had no idea she was having an affair. He looked detectives in the eye and said he would never do anything to hurt his wife. What police didn't tell him, at least not at first, was that they'd already found his laptop. His search history, queries like how long before a body starts to smell, hacksaw, best tool to dismember, and can you be charged with murder without a body? The recordings of those interviews are now evidence, and the jury is hearing a man calmly deny any wrongdoing, while the digital breadcrumbs tell a very different story. I want to break down those interviews with you today, what the words reveal, what the delivery reveals, and what you'll be listening for if you were the one sitting across from Brian Walsh. To help us do that, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, author of many books, his latest one, Unbreakable Alliances, available wherever books are sold. And you should put that in every stocking of every person in your house, including your pets.
And a new book, right? Can we talk about the new book?
Yeah,
love it.
The refreshed one, yeah. So I got the refreshed one coming out, which is It's not all about me. It's being re-released, updated and everything in March. But then we're working on the shorter true crime one, which will help everyone. That'll hopefully get announced at the beginning of the year as we're working on that.
Yeah.
Just providing tools and everything for everyone to avoid nutters like this, because this is what it really comes down to is this guy is doubling down on nutter.
Yeah. When investigators asked Walsh directly, did you do anything to hurt your wife? He responded, no. Without hesitation, and added, I would never do that. Robin, in your experience, detecting deception in high-stakes interviews, what separates a genuine denial from a performed one? And what specifically are you listening for in the delivery of someone answering these questions? It goes just beyond what's on the page. It's a lot to do with what one is verbally giving you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things when you're looking at interviewing and interacting in general with other human beings that you want to take into account. And, you know, Brian Walsh is one of these ones that if you're looking for deception indicators, you know, like you're looking at nonverbal language, you might see some things or you won't see other things. And so I really want to emphasize on this one in particular that work with what you're presented, because he's presenting something a little more extreme than we've typically seen in other cases, and that is a lot of incongruence. I mean, he is nothing but incongruence of words, actions, and deeds, and incongruence like that typically strikes very high on very low emotional intelligence. I did even more research on this, and it's they've actually done the studies on this with every murderer out there. Every murderer is so low on emotional intelligence. And I've said this before on the show, but the science does back it. And part of those red flags of a low emotional intelligence is massive incongruence, the objectification of other human beings. And what we're seeing in Brian Walsh is this arc of, and I heard you talking earlier this week on the same case, he is showing a complete arc of zero guardrails from being an entitled spoiled brat and never see, and think about this. Think about the interviews and what we're hearing and seeing in every single aspect of his life. He has never been once challenged on any of the shit coming out of his mouth. And so he thinks as he say it, it is believe it. I mean, so you can imagine inside that privileged home of his, again, we put on our thought hats, and we think it to ourselves, so here's an only privileged child. What would make someone like this? Someone like this is used to scheming to get attention, used to trying to be a con artist to get attention, to take the easy road. And part of that arc of his life is so congruent. Easy road. And if it gets hard, I quit. If I start to fail, I just quit. If things get difficult in a relationship, I just kill it. I mean, it's just exactly what's happened in his life. And so if you come up in a house with nothing but behaviors where you can say anything, people either dismiss you, don't care about you, or believe it, you're never challenged. And so you think the rest of the world is going to believe the shit you make up because he's got nothing but reps of that in life. And so this interview, kind of coming back to that, is nothing but him scripting out what he thinks everyone will believe because he is so used to, I say it and people believe it. And we're seeing it play out.
Do you think that maybe, and we don't know what happened before she was killed, allegedly, but do you think maybe she confronted him, that she finally got into his face about everything he had done? Maybe they had too much to drink New Year's Eve and things just got tense and he went, I'm done. That's it. You're out.
Maybe. I think there's never, I don't think this is a one instance where he all of a sudden snapped. He doesn't quite strike me as a snapping guy because, I mean, he schemes and schemers take time to plan and think things out in a very distorted way because he's got reps of thinking distortedly over his lifetime. I mean, the fraud scheme, you know, the art fraud, all this stuff is not just, it's elements of impulsivity, but impulsivity was some sort of a plan that he didn't think would be challenged. And so I think this is probably much the same thing. I really think if you look at the arc of what he does is he's a schemer to make cheap money and easy money, and he objectifies everyone and everything without any kind of emotional attachment. She's got a big life insurance policy. He needs money. He doesn't view her as a human being. When I was listening the other day to your show, Tony, I was thinking about he's really regarding her like a candlestick. It's a nice candlestick that I just want on my table and I'm going to keep it lit. But all of a sudden, if the candle goes out, if I have to take the energy to change the candle, the candlestick, I'll just get a new candlestick.
Yeah.
Because when you think about, is I heard you talking about, Siobhan, with this, about what it takes for the type of human being to cut up a body. it's he didn't think of her as a body. It was a candlestick. It was a thing. It was an object that was in the way of him getting the money. I mean, how many times have we seen that play out? It's one of the greatest motivators of this type of low, bottomed out emotional intelligence. And thankfully, most of these really heinous nutters don't watch true crime because they do everything completely back-ass or wrong if you don't want to be caught.
Yeah, everything's an obstacle in things like this. Yeah. One of the things that really struck me prior to us doing the show today, I was doing a piece on this, of some of the testimony from her ex. Mm-hmm. And also from some of the people who went back and were able to look at the search history. Because if there's anything, this is a case where it's like, this is the encyclopedic example of how Google will destroy you after your crimes and before your crimes and before the crime.
Yeah.
What do you make of this? Because I had just read this morning. I don't know if anybody else is aware of this part yet. He searched on Christmas. Now, keep in mind, Anna dies New Year's Day. Yeah. So a week before Christmas, he's searching for Anna Walsh body
dead.
Founder. Dead. Is it Anna Walsh dead?
It's something, I think it was dead.
Yeah, I got to look back for the exact, but it's Anna Walsh dead, I believe. And who the fuck is searching? She's alive. He knows she's alive. Why would you be searching for this term?
That's his wife.
Of his wife. It's just like, well, you like see there's other Anna Walshes out there that are dead, so you know what your competition is on Google once this story starts tracking. I mean, there's still a week before she's actually dead. That was just bizarre to me to be searching for the very thing that's about to happen a week later.
Every time you think of it being bizarre, just substitute that word for complete moron.
Yeah.
This guy is, again, all these people are complete illiterate morons. And I say illiterate here too, because this shows such a lack of curiosity about anything in life whatsoever. So because of all his behaviors indicate not just what his intentions were, but also what his thought process is and isn't. He is not a curious person. Curious people, if you actually wanted to achieve something, anything in life, it takes some research. It takes some time. It takes some effort. It takes a little bit of a grind. But his life has been reward with no grind, without effort. And so he thinks he can operate at a very, see, he's not thinking this. He is just operating at a very, very surface level, a centimeter deep without going an inch deep to actually figure out exactly what he should and shouldn't do to do these types of things. Because literally in his little bubble, because he's not curious, he doesn't really see outside this bubble. Inside this bubble, he's got it all figured out. His mother tells him he's got it all figured out. His world tells him he's got it all figured out. And he's got it so figured out that he can win over and woo women that'll, you know, live with him and give him children. So in his own little distorted world, if I think it must be true. Yeah. So that's exactly what we're seeing manifest. It's his life reps.
He was getting this is in no way like victim blaming here, but the fact that Anna Walsh was with him still after three children, after all these years of marriage, it just continued to validate his madness, it seems. You know, because you have this competent woman, this successful woman who has her shit together, who's doing her own thing in life, and clearly pretty much fed up with what he is. But for all those years, she stayed with him. You know, for whatever reason that may be, for the kids, who the hell knows? But, you know, people will have their certain reasons. But the fact that she was there and she was a competent, smart, successful, attractive woman, that I'm sure just validated to him that what he's on the right track in his mind, because he's got her. I mean, if she wasn't there, well, then, you know, she's a marker that things are on the right path for him.
Yeah, well, she's a shiny object in his life that validates, you know, his sense of self, because that's all it is. And when it comes to her, I did a little bit more research on her too, because you know, to understand her behavior, you have to understand her life, her background as an immigrant coming from an immigrant family. You know, because this gives a whole different context. As a lot of people are asking, what would cause her or inspire her to stay with him? you know, there's a good potential for cultural norms in here as well. Conservative family, conservative background. This is what typically what a strong female does. Then you throw immigrant on top of there, which is generally extremely hardworking, diligent, you know, just really focused on family and tradition. And so when you kind of take that optic, you can kind of understand the behaviors, because that is the optic and behavior from what that family expects her to do. And so she's fulfilling the expectation of family, if that's an influence in her life. Again, pure conjecture, but I've seen it before with other families. You know, when you work counterintelligence, you work all over the world. And so you see this kind of thing play out, where it makes sense if you understand her cultural and familial background about what action she would take and why she would stay with such a lunatic. Because in her mind, you know, what she's searching for early on, most likely don't know because we don't know, is that she's looking for a stable provider with some fame and notoriety or something, you know. And he comes from, you know, a family that has this outward appearance, because remember, everything's always about appearances with these people, that gives us an appearance of being able to be that stable provider. And, you know, when you're new to a country, boof, it overwhelms you and you think it's all good.
And then surprise, you get Brian Wall. I mean, there's just, I mean, is it just me or does, do other people have a visceral reaction when you see Brian Walsh? I mean, he just, I mean, not to profile somebody, but he just looks like a con artist. You just see this guy, he looks slimy. He looks like someone who's, I mean, when you see him on video, his eyes are always moving around. He's always watching the room. It's like a nervous animal.
It's like he's looking for the next most important person in the room to
deal
always
with. It's a weird vibe that I get off of this guy.
I don't really think he's had a lot of really good, healthy relationships. And so he's trying to understand what. So people like him are trying to understand what the world wants him to be.
Yeah.
So he can try to be that thing to get over what he needs to get over on. I mean, that's exactly it. He doesn't know what to be as a human being. He's devoid of really healthy social interactions and a sense of self, because no one, I mean, until the art fraud thing, and who knows how much that actually humbled him, he's really never been humbled in his entire life. Mm-hmm. And humility and humbling moments allow us to grow, because they give us a great rep. It gives us some experience. And because when people have become so sheltered and so coddled at such an early age for so many years and never challenged on their thoughts, beliefs, or behaviors, you just fall into the cycle of self. This is how narcissism is created, because you get this overinflated sense of self, not necessarily because of genetics or biology, just because it becomes this learned behavior because of what you grew up in. And I really think that's what played out here. So when we go back to the interview stuff, we're seeing exactly that. He scripted out at a very, very surface level from watching Starsky and Hutch or something about what he thinks he should say.
Yeah.
Or I know we're doing all our nostalgic stuff, or what Adam 12.
There's a flashback.
Or Golden Palace, the one season.
TJ Hooker, there's another one.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Walsh, Jake, and the Fat Man. Walsh told, I was actually in an elevator with the Fat Man once in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yes, I didn't even know I was a child. My dad's like, you know who that was? Like, no, I don't. That was the Fat Man,
the Fat
Jake
Man.
And the Fat Man.
Oh, great, Dad, thanks.
Thanks, Dad. Then I had Chicago-style pizza for the first time, and it was an amazing day. Anyway, Walsh told police his marriage was happy. He had no knowledge of any affair. We know that Anna had been in a months-long relationship with another man, traveling internationally with him, attending events together. Is it plausible that a husband wouldn't notice any of this, that he didn't notice any of this? Or does that claim itself kind of become more of a data point in assessing his credibility in all this?
You know, Stacey, I hear you, and I agree that typically I would agree that it's no way he wouldn't know, but I think he's an idiot. I think
what I'm wondering. Yeah.
I think it's completely possible. He's got no idea. He is incompetent at life. Mm-hmm. And so when you become incompetent at being a human being, the most obvious things slide by you. And also, so part of this image that he's trying to, he's got a life arc and reps of pretend. He lives in pretend world. Mm-hmm. And in his pretend world, the marriage is good. Even if, I mean, you could, I guarantee this, you can imagine him there hacking up his wife as an interviewer saying, as he's doing, as literally, I mean, just, it's, I know it's a gruesome thing, but think about it. He'd be doing this, and an interviewer could be standing there, a cop saying, "Do you have a good marriage?" "Oh yeah, my marriage is fantastic." You can see it, because that's the distorted world he lives in. Because remember, he's just taking care of a bad candlestick.
Yeah.
The marriage is a whole different thing in his mind, because the marriage is the image he's projecting to the world around him, because it's all about image. It's about flash. God. It's about the identity that you create, because why? He comes from that same world. His parents are the same thing. You know, you create this facade, you know, big houses, big mansions, you know, don't, you know, the plastic on the furniture so you can't sit on it. I mean, it's that kind of crap. And so when you're exposed only to that, this is what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not saying people that grow up that way have this, but this is what happens in this instance.
Can you still buy the plastic for the furniture? Does that still
a thing? Yeah, you can, actually. You can. I saw it on Amazon.
I didn't know that was still a thing. People would actually do.
Some of the worst experiences from childhood during the summer, getting up from those couches at grandma's house. Like, you left half your leg on the couch. Oh! It was excruciating.
I can just feel it when I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
You know, and the last comment, and who said that comment that you posted up there?
Which one? Was it Brianna?
Yeah. You know, so I love doing these thought experiments on things like this to try to understand the mind, to try to see what nooks and crannies are filled out here on it. And when I'm thinking about him, so think about this. If he had known or had not known about the affair that his wife was having, would it really have changed the outcome?
No.
No. He's going to do it no matter what. So that's why his knowledge of it, I really don't think it mattered to him, because, and why I say that, if he can be so callous to cut up her body and have zero effect from both that as well as during the interview when talking about her, that was done. If he was, who even knows if he had real emotion towards her regardless at any point? And so,
yeah,
I mean, I don't think, because think about this. If there was a real relationship there that he, from his point of view, I'm not saying from the wife's point of view, we don't know that, but from, because she did say great things about him.
Yeah.
But from his point of view, even so, if he had then had knowledge of the cheating on him, he would be devastated that she cheated on him.
And maybe that's where this all came to a head, because a lot of these searches seem to be happening like on Christmas. When she was coming back late, and suddenly, you know, a week later, she's dead. Even though this affair had been going on for months, it was fairly out there in the open. I think anybody that is paying attention to their life would have figured this out. Not just suddenly on Christmas, you're having this revelation. It when you're looking at it, hindsight, it seems like he maybe came to this revelation pretty quick. And then it was a very quick reaction of just destroy it, get rid of it, get rid of her. And it wasn't super thought out or it was premeditated, it looks like, to a certain extent, but not for very long. Not like this was like, oh, she's cheating for months on end. You know, it seems like he gets the information and within a week he has his sloppy solution, basically.
I don't think you would have gotten any better a solution. I mean, that's the max of his thinking capacity. I think you really saw him maxed out. That's how, because you think about the art fraud aspect of things. Again, it's an arc. I mean, every scheme, he's a schemer. He's just not a real, he doesn't do anything in life. He's complete. I mean, he reminds me so much of the Vallows. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
In this aspect of he's got zero ability to actually function in life and provide for himself. Mm-hmm. And so when people have that, you have that victim mentality, you have low EQ, you just go into the scheming mode and you think you can scheme people out of things. And when this scheme ran out of his wife, his candlestick, he's like, well, we'll just get rid of that one. I'm good enough. I'll get another one. No one will even notice she's gone.
And he follows the schemer script so well. When he was confronted about the disturbing searches found on his son's iPad, his response to investigators is, I don't use that iPad. That's really weird. The that's really weird part is what gets me. I mean, that phrasing itself.
Gosh, how could that happen?
It sounds like I'm having an argument with like my teenage daughter or something. Like, that's really weird. Like, it's just such a surface level, like stupid response when you don't know what else to say and you're getting caught in something. And well, he's talking with the police about chopping up his wife. That's weird that this is on my son's iPad.
Wasn't it Siobhan who mentioned, you know, the kid with the crumbs around his face going, I didn't eat the cookie. selfies.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yeah. It's just so...
I hate laughing at these things, but these people are so ludicrous. They're literally, you know, watching TV, they create better characters than they morons create for themselves, because it is just... It's just, he is so obvious. Yeah. He is so over the top. And I know everyone keeps trying to wrap these complexities around these things, thinking they must be some sort of mastermind to get away with these things. No, he's a complete moron. He's just an idiot with low EQ. And he's a combination. So we've seen some of these people that have some moderate IQs with zero EQ. No, he's bottomed out on both. He's a complete idiot in all aspects of his life. I mean,
he has. Just... On the surface, the Walshes look like a successful couple. Three young kids, a house in upscale Cohasset, a DC townhome on the side, and Anna climbing the ranks in commercial real estate. But underneath, the fractures were deep. Anna was months into an affair with a Washington real estate broker. Brian was under federal home confinement for art fraud. Stuck as the primary caregiver while his wife built a separate life 400 miles away. She was the breadwinner. He couldn't leave Massachusetts. The prosecution says he discovered the affair and killed her for it. The defense says he didn't even know about the relationship and had no motive. With that being the case, what we do know is that on December 27th, 4 days before Anna died, someone on Brian's devices searched, "What's the best state divorce for a man?" And that on December 29th, their last text exchange ended with "love you and love you too." Robin, this whole thing where it's at right now, all of it, the framework, how it forms, how it fractures, and how betrayal reshapes people, that's what we're getting into here in this next part. I want you to help us understand what was actually happening inside that marriage and what behavioral patterns might have predicated what came next. Anna was having that affair, but according to her boyfriend's testimony, she always spoke about Brian in positive terms and cared for him deeply. Yeah, there was never a concrete plan for her to leave, apparently. Right. How do you interpret this kind of emotional compartmentalization that was going on? And what does it suggest about how she viewed the marriage versus the affair?
So that's why I did some research on her and her background and the cultural aspects of it that might be at play here. So I think she potentially saw this as her obligation as a mother, as a wife, doing these, you know, being committed and compartmentalizing the fact that, all right, I'm not getting my needs met here, so I'll get my other needs met with this other guy over here. So at some point, she seemed very comfortable with it from what we're seeing and comfortable with saying positive things about him. So that's a learned behavior. She saw that someplace else in her life. Again, cultural, societal things will impact that. So I think that's what played into her. Now, into him, the mindset going into this, so you can kind of put yourself, I know you can't put yourself because he's a nutter, but you're thinking through and seeing and observing his process of researching divorce. And I'm seeing his mind being such a low thought process mind that, all right, divorce looks like it's tricky, it's challenging, and he doesn't like challenges. Let's just kill her. Yeah. I mean, so you can kind of see the process going out here with the string of events and the string of searches. Well, he researched, you know, the get rid of the candlestick because the candlestick doesn't want me and that's not good for my image. Because remember, this, I don't think this was an emotional response because he doesn't seem to have emotions. And so lack of emotional response, you got to look for other explanation as to why. His entire whys in life is image. Mm-hmm. She having an affair ruins the image. And so we need to get rid of the one that's destroying the image. So we'll try divorce. Divorce is too hard because he doesn't do hard things in life. So let's, murder's got to be easy. Let's just get rid of her that way. And I can just chop her up and get rid of her in a bag. See what I mean? I mean, it fits that pattern of low thinking, low impact, zero emotional behavior because it's all about him. Everything is all about him. None of this is regarding the children. And I guarantee you this too. You hate to think about the children, at least they're in protective custody. You know, you can imagine him. So his mindset, he's trapped. That word trapped at home with three kids that need attention when the only thing he wants to give attention to is himself. That I guarantee was most likely one of the things affecting this behavior as well, because he had to give attention rather than get attention, and it was driving him up a wall.
Yeah. I mean, his threshold for embarrassment is already been broken into pretty good. Yeah, and it's zero, but he's already been exposed for the art fraud. So that's his world of, you know, being this collector dealer is already like in shambles. So all he kind of has left is this image of, you know, he's this family man and this wife. But now that's going to go away too. And how do you make that not go away? Well, by making it go away, but you become the victim in it. It's not she's leaving you for greener pastures. It's she's gone and now you're the grieving widow has to take care of these three boys. Poor you.
And you get more money.
And you get more money and you get the inheritance and you get all this. I mean, it's, yeah.
Feels like a Corey Richens situation almost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly elements to it. You know, let's do this because this is the path of least resistance over here. There's an element to this guy too that's Koberger-ish. The lack of emotion, just the I'm only operating in what exactly I want to do, how it's going to benefit me in the moment. Because there isn't a lot of forward thinking here with this guy at all. It's just in this moment, what's going to make me feel best? And he seems to go down those routes. This image of him where he's being arrested, smiling. It's like he doesn't even quite grasp what's going on around him, or it's not making the emotional impact that it should on a healthy functioning brain. But that's the thing. There isn't a healthy functioning brain going on here.
You're looking at a 6-year-old spoiled kid. I mean, just look at that. Just put that image back up again, Todd. And what you see, look at it. He looks like a grown 6-year-old that just found out that he stole cookies in a cookie jar.
Gen Z just said he looks like Quagmire from South
Giggity. Family Guy. No kidding.
Yeah.
This is one of the more predictable ones we've ever seen because there's no nuance to him whatsoever. His consistency is very congruent throughout his entire life. And part of that congruence is his incongruence in everything he's doing and saying, because he doesn't know how to behave. He never learned how to behave. You know, so let's do a little compare and contrast since you brought up Koberger. Koberger, again, don't know because I'm not the licensed clinician, didn't do have firsthand assessments. But what it clearly looks like when you observe Koberger's behavior and all aspects of it is this is genetic and biology coming to play with pure psychopathy with him. It is over the top, zero emotional intelligence and zero ability to mask his lack of emotional intelligence. And I did a little research on this as well. BTK and on Dahmer had the ability to mask their lack of emotional intelligence because they knew they needed it in order to get away with their behaviors. And so they could do it. They did an amazing job of masking looking normal because they knew they needed emotional intelligence to cover up their heinous crimes. Koberger was so low on this that he had no knowledge that he needed an emotional intelligence. So there was the effort he was making was so rudimentary. But again, his was more genetic and biologic, I think, than Walsh here. Walsh here, because you see him smiling, because you see him laughing, because you see behavior that's completely inappropriate for the situation. Who has inappropriate behaviors for situations because they have low knowledge of really the engagement? A 6-year-old.
Yeah.
We've seen a 6-year-old play out. So that's when his emotional, again, I can't claim to be a clinician on this one, but you're seeing a lack of emotional intelligence appropriate for his age level and maturity level of where it should be. And his problem solving skills are at zero. So he was never exposed to how to function as a human being. And this is the result you get. And his problem, I mean, you see him working those problems like, all right, I can try to divorce my wife. That takes effort. I don't have effort and it's going to take money. I need money. And she's tarnishing my look and appearance. Well, look, oh my God, that's right. She's got all this life insurance. I'll just kill her. That's so much easier. I'll just kill her. Everyone will believe me.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of childish behavior, when you think of children and responses to situations and moments in life, reading the room, children aren't good at that. They don't have the experience to be good at that. That's why you could be just revealing information. Oh my God, my grandmother just died. And you could be having a horrible moment and there could be multiple people in the room. Everybody's grieving, like feeling the weight of the moment. And the kid could walk, you know, be there too. And like, can we get McDonald's? You know, that's kind of what I feel like with this guy, where it's like, you just chopped your wife up. Can I get McDonald's? I mean, that's kind of the feeling I get from this guy. I mean, and literally there's part of this case is,
yep,
he's in the other room chopping her up and the kids are in the other room eating McDonald's. Like in one breath, you're sitting there. Okay, kids, here's your food. Everybody get this. Don't argue over the toys. And then hang on, let me go get that hacksaw. I mean, it's the going back from these two worlds, one door away is just, it's mind blowing.
Worlds. I mean, seriously, someone behaves that way and so flippant about what he's doing in the proximity of children or anyone else is because he, in his mind, he thinks everyone else thinks likes him too. He's just
She doesn't matter to him. She doesn't matter to the kids. She is exactly as you said, a candlestick.
Yeah.
Candlestick broke. I'm dealing with it.
Don't worry, kids. I'll be right there. I'm just getting a new candlestick.
Yeah.
This one broke. No longer shine. You know. But Dad, why are you talking? Well, it's easier just to get a new candlestick than buy a new candle. Or to work on the one that we got. I mean, he's just a...
What do you think about how she was viewing the relationship? I mean, there was still a lot of love you, I love you too. Witnesses saw them together at the New Year's Eve party, you know, appearing festive and loving. I mean, the friend that was over, her former boss, I recall some of his testimony about this when asked earlier about it. Nothing seemed off. It seemed like they were, it was a normal, you know, there wasn't any red flags really. It was just, but then obviously within 3 hours of that guest leaving, this all went down. Are you surprised that there wasn't any sort of outward signs here? Or did, you know, do you think that, I'm going back. I'm curious to hear what you think about what she thought of the relationship. That's where I'm going.
All right. I'm going to throw a huge conjecture part on this because, again, my knowledge of her was I really tried to glean it in the last couple hours and prep for you as always, Tony. And so I might be off on what I researched and what I found and what I'm thinking. But it could be this. Again, I'm going to go back to the new immigrant. You know, coming to the country where your first exposure or deeper exposure to a man is him. And so now, and when you have a family saying this must be the way American men and families and everything interact based on our understanding of what we want our family, this is what you can expect. Because if she, from my research, I think he was like the first boyfriend slash person she like fell in love with or met or had a relationship with. If that's the case, he becomes a defining person of what an American male is.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what you think is right. And then when you throw on top of that, the life arc of what we do as a family and what is culturally acceptable and not acceptable on top of what you're defining as what a man is and what a husband is, this is what you wind up getting. You get someone who's happy with what you have because you think this is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I can really think of this because she is smart. She is intelligent. She has high, it looks like at least moderate to high emotional intelligence because she has the ability to interact. And so she had all these things. So the only thing you could then, you know, kind of understand with that reverse optic is what would inspire then someone to have these behaviors to your question is it must be her understanding of what normal is from her perspective.
Yeah.
What would create that? Life arcs, behaviors and exposures and context.
It makes you wonder, and this is just pure conjecture then, and it makes me wonder if he had the emotional intelligence to do this or the skill set to do this. It makes me wonder, did he prey on her when he met her? Did he realize this is someone who is coming from a different country? This is just pure conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
This is someone coming from a different country who doesn't know our societal norms, who, you know, she's young. She's looking for, you know, a relationship, for love. She wants to start a family, do her own, you know, do this thing. And he sees her as an easy target that he can make think that he's normal. that his behavior is okay and acceptable. But I don't even know if he has the capacity to think that far ahead, or if that's just kind of how all the blocks worked worked their way out, and it turned into this. I don't know that there was a lot of plotting involved, or it was just the pathology involved.
I think you hit it right on the head. I think he views everyone as prey. He preys on everyone. He tries to take advantage of everyone because that's his life arc. That's his reps. And we do not get, and I, good job. Don't give him credit on thinking on these things. He doesn't think. He's got zero intelligence. His planning goes as deep as bad Google searches.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if he gets that much credit for thinking that far ahead, but.
Here's how he thinks far ahead. He thought a week about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a long time in his world. So someone who starts college like he did and fails out because he must have had a tough week, mm-hmm. not a tough semester, probably not a tough year, probably had a tough week. Time is easier to quit because you know what? Why not? Mom and dad say it's okay. Fuck it.
Yeah. And obviously no thought for the three human beings that he made with the woman.
Ooh.
If mommy is just disappears now, not let's call 911. She's not breathing, which would have been the logical thing to do. And if she's dead, then you can mourn her death and the kids can go through that process. He's all about himself. It's just 1000% me. Who cares what these children think? I mean, that's an interesting point to this whole damn thing. The kids don't get mentioned very much. They're almost like a very, like, side note to a side note here.
They had walked in while he was cutting her up, for heaven's sakes? Yeah. I mean, what if one of the kids just walked in and he's, like, sitting there with the hacksaw?
Kids, I'll be right there. Yeah. Go get throw some more pickles on your McRib, like Tony said the other day.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was no thought. Like, so I mean, kids walk in on parents doing things. I mean, it's why you
lock your door. Yes. but I didn't know that he'd have the foresight to do that either.
I'm going to give you a really, really super dark thought on this that I'm glad they caught him when they did. I'd be curious if the kids had life insurance policies.
Oh, God.
When you think of the Daybells and the fact that they sucked at making money because they're completely incompetent at life and they're living in this crazy brain world of theirs, they started bumping people off that had life insurance policies, including their kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like, and they're even saying it, one of his motivations for killing her was the life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if the kids didn't have life insurance policies, it might have been the only thing that saved them.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. He's got three of them, you know. Two would be fine if one can produce some money. If there's a life insurance, I mean, that's the type of when everything's an object, and nothing is a soul or a human or has any value to you in any way, shape, or form. Yeah,
because again, you look at the behaviors. He didn't do anything to protect his children from what he was doing to their mother. None of the actions he was taking was to protect his children. Not one thought that we've seen throughout this entire thing was a thought for the welfare of the children. Mm-hmm. Meaning, what's the likelihood based on those behaviors we've seen of him objectifying the children like other candlesticks in the candelabra? Yeah. You know, they're useful as long as they're useful. Once they become not useful, I mean, seriously, so what was his, I would be very, very curious about what his plan for the children were with the mother gone.
He didn't have a plan. Didn't we establish that? Does. There was no plan.
Just feed them McDonald's until they're 18 and then they'll be gone.
I think you feed them McDonald's until you get the life insurance policy on them.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. Whatever happened to Anna?
We've seen crazier. I mean, it's just he's just a horrible human being.
I agree. Whatever happened to Anna Walsh in the early hours of January 1st, 2023, we know exactly what her husband did next. Starting at 4:55 a.m., he began searching how long before a body starts to smell. Over the next 3 days, the queries escalated. 10 ways to dispose of a dead body if you really need to. Hacksaw, best tool to dismember. Can you be charged with murder without a body? He went to Home Depot wearing surgical gloves and a mask, paying cash for mops, tarps, Tyvek suits, googles, a hatchet, and baking soda. Surveillance footage captured him at dumpsters near his mother's apartment complex, disposing bags that would later be found to contain bloodstained clothing, cutting tools, and Anna's COVID vaccination card. Then on January 4th, he called her employer and reported her missing. She said that she'd left for a work trip and hadn't heard from her. The defense calls this panic. A man who found his wife inexplicably dead and made terrible decisions trying to protect his children. The prosecution calls it consciousness of guilt. Robin Dreek is with us to help break all of this down. The Google searches started at 4:55 a.m. on January 1st with how long before a body starts to smell, evolved over 3 days to include hacksaw, best tool to dismember, and then can you be charged with murder without a body, and how to clean blood from a wooden floor. What is the progression, and specifically of those searches? Tell you about the mental state of the person that's conducting him, Robin.
It actually goes to his lack of ability to really think anything out at a deep level. You know, there was obviously some planning in here, but not a plan because he didn't really think out anything having to do with, all right, now I've got a dead body that's leaking fluids. Mm-hmm. and it's actually dealing with a dead body. How do I deal with a dead? He didn't think of how do I deal with a dead body. Mm-hmm. And so at a very, very six-year-old level, this is exactly what he's doing. Any script writer that is over the age of 15 would do better than this.
Mm-hmm. Even when you look at the picture of him with the cart there at the Home Depot, I mean, he stands. If I was walking through Home Depot and I saw that going on, I'd be like, he fucking killed somebody.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's what, two buckets. There's a mop bucket thing that, you know, one of those industrial.
Look at the cashier behind him.
It's comical. It's comically bad. It's like if you were doing this scene in Breaking Bad, they'd be like, this looks too obvious. You got to look like you're like nobody who killed somebody is going to look like they're buying supplies to get rid of the bloody scene.
I'm not kidding you. So the way when I'm out and about, when I do anything in life, the way when you live, and we've talked about this before, is like, how do you become a behavioral analyst? How do you see, how do you baseline the world around you? It's easy when you don't have an agenda and you live calm, you see everything. And what happens is you see things that stand out from a mm-hmm. baseline of what you expect. And it just jumps out at you. So this dude would jump out at me bigger than hell. And I'm telling you, like, if I was there in that Home Depot, you know what I'd be doing? What? I would literally follow him to his car to see the body in the backseat.
Oh, no. You'd be looking in the trunk.
I would have followed him. And I would have, he would have fascinated me because that is just an unusual thing you're going for. I would have followed him to his car. I might have even had a conversation with him saying,
oh, God.
I said, so hey, so what's the plan with all this? Seriously, that is a great question. What's the plan with all this?
It makes me wonder, like, did the cashier say anything, or did he go to self-checkout? Because it seems like something someone would say, too.
No, he'd have someone check him out.
So I would joking. It'd be like, are you burying a body? Just jokingly. And then see what the reaction is.
I've done that. I've been, like, at Sam's Club, and somebody's got just a ton of like cheesy poofs or something in their cart. And I'm like, oh, you having a party? I mean, I will strike up that conversation with somebody. See, but what are you doing with all of that?
They're like, no, I have a problem.
Right. The key here is don't give him. So when you ask a specific question, is this for this? Is this for this? What you're doing is you're giving him an out that he can then follow. That's why you say, what's the plan with this? What makes it a specific question that he's got to be specific on, and it's completely open-ended. So now you're going to hear exactly what's on his mind, and you're going to see either a pause, he didn't have it thought out, or you're going to hear something really stupid and incongruent, which is most likely come. I would love to hear the response to that question as he's putting his shit in his backyard. I mean, in the back of his car, because I mean, I'm telling you, that's exactly what I would have, and my wife would have been mortified I've done this. You know, when something stands out that obvious like this, it begs engagement because
you've come across somebody up to no good in the Home Depot parking lot? I mean, do you carry? Are you, you know, are you safe?
You know, I used to, you know, being retired, I can carry all the time anywhere. Mm-hmm. I keep my I have to qualify once a year. I always have my retired creds with me. I have all my stuff to be. I just never do. You know, because what happens is, first of all, it's a pain. and also when you become really observant of the world around you, you know, it's easy to avoid crazy when you just see it. It's very, very rare. And this is now I'm going to do my knock on wood that I'm really shocked or surprised by something. And also, you know, I don't give off a victim vibe because I'm very observant anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what makes me feel fine. I used to be paranoid. And also, it was an ego thing. You know, FBI guys, oh, carry my gun, be an FBI guy. Ugh, I'm over that crap.
Yeah.
But I can. I just don't.
The defense argument is essentially, and I was shocked to hear that this is going to be their argument, and I'm curious to get your take on all this. Obviously, he has admitted to the fact that he disposed of the body. He's admitted to the fact that he lied to police, but he didn't kill her. I mean, right. this is how they're walking into the trial.
Right.
And the reasoning, I mean, I'm like, well, what on earth are they going to say? I'm thinking they're going to go down the accident route. I'm thinking, you know, they're going to say, you know, she tripped, it's the staircase or whatever, something happened that he panicked. And then this is how it went. I didn't expect them to come up with the stupidest explanation, that she just suddenly died from a syndrome that doesn't exist, that can't be proven and nobody's ever heard of. I mean, it's just like, that's your story. It's not some sort of accident, or like, you're going with this, you're going with sudden, basically adult SIDS, if you will, and expecting the world to believe it. It doesn't seem like something the attorney would have come up with. This totally seems like something that Brian came up with, and it follows the path. It totally tracks, because again, yeah, it's a, if I say this out loud, it seems like it makes sense to me. What would it make sense to you? I mean, do you think that this was any sort of, you know, mental gymnastics by the attorneys going, here's our story, or is this our client is demanding we say this? This and is what we have no choice.
This is what the 6-year-old came up with.
Yes.
Yeah. So anytime you can, like, you know, boil things down to understand a human being at a really simple level, everything falls into place. Think of him as a stupid 6-year-old. It all falls into place. Yeah. There you go. He's a spoiled 6-year-old. That's it. He's a spoiled 6-year-old that broke a really bad rule in a house where he killed someone. And this is how he's trying to get away with it. This is literally how a 6-year-old tries to get away with something that they did really bad. And because that's exactly what he's doing. It's not to discredit 6-year-olds at all. There's most 99% of 6-year-olds out there, or 99.999, are amazing human beings that wouldn't do something like this. But this is a very broken 6-year-old. That's a better way to put it. This is a very broken, unhealthy 6-year-old in a very unhealthy environment that allowed him to be this spoiled brat without guardrails. And this is what happens.
I mean, and to think that anyone is going to believe your story. I mean, especially with a track record of lying about everything. I've lied about everything. I've admitted I've lied about everything. But now I want you to believe this other tall tale over here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just stunning. I mean, and what's stunning to me about it is, I mean, I know it's how our system works. We have, you know, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. He deserves a trial and all that. What's stunning is just the grown-ups in the room, the people who aren't idiots. We all have to be at the mercy of this person. They have to provide him with a trial. People have to take time off of work to go be a jury. I mean, just the effort, the manpower, the all of this, just because this man's brain, and he knows what he did, can't admit to it. And he'd rather, I mean, he's still a puppeteer. He's still puppeteering everybody, and he's probably loving it. Like, look at all the power I have. And it's the last bit of power he's ever gonna have, too.
He thinks he's winning.
It's just, like, who's crazier at some point? Our system for entertaining these people's bullshit, or these people with their bullshit, you know?
It's one of many, you know, his just got highlighted. This happens more. I mean,
sure.
When you look at the numbers of cases that are covered every day across the country, this is one of many, many, Yeah. And so, yeah, it's the way the system works, because in order to have systems and have faith in those systems, you have to let these things play out. But, you know,
yeah.
You know, all I can say is I don't know them. I haven't followed them. But God bless the defense attorneys that allowed him to say stupid shit so it can go away to jail. I mean, yeah. It's kind of like the ones with Lori Daybell. You know, they said, yeah. All right, start speaking. It's all you, man.
Yep. Have fun. This will work out well.
I get paid either way. You do your thing.
This is just most.
Stacey, do we have anything over in the comments?
Oh, our comments. You guys have just been awesome today. I'm having a hard time keeping up. Yeah, we do. So Miranda for Life says he seems low functioning, but manipulative at the same time. I think those two can be true at the same time. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, it's the high functioning ones that are scary.
Yes. Because
they're able to get away with shit.
Yeah. High functioning manipulators get away with it more often. I don't think he gets away with anything from anyone.
No, no.
The other thing. Go ahead, Tony.
I don't think he could steal a Happy Meal toy from his kids. Like, it's, yeah.
Somebody's having McDonald's for lunch, I think. Gen Z says he was her hero in the beginning. And then as they got further into the marriage, his true colors came out. He probably wined and dined her and gave her everything. And once he got her, that all stopped. There's a lot of, and I'm just going to throw a blanket over this. You can go in the comment section if you'd like. But I think there's a lot of men who will love bomb women. Yeah. And suck them in. And then once they're in, the women are like, holy shit, what reality sucks here. I didn't see this coming. I mean,
it works some of us have been too. There. Yeah. I mean, in narcissists, that's just part of the playbook. Male, female.
Yeah.
They all follow this book. I mean, he's following the playbook. It's the love bombing at first. Everything looks fine and lovely. And especially they're going after someone. She probably, you know, was a very caring, loving, fixer type person, soul that, you know, saw this guy and, you know, it scratched an itch at that moment in time. And it probably also spoke to her humanity and, oh, you know, this loving guy, he's got his quirks, but, you know, he loves me. And, you know, I'm sure there was tons of reasoning that made sense at that moment in time.
An empath. She saw something in him that needed caring.
Well, yeah. You know, and when you enter a relationship with positive confirmation bias, like you want something to happen, you're only going to see the positives that you want to see. So I actually prepared this for you all today and for our audience. I put together a list of red flags for people with low emotional intelligence, specifically to this, that just look for this leakage in people before you engage and have anything more than a transactional relationship with them. And this is one, chronic mismatch between words, actions, and deeds. Mm. Zero ability to reciprocate. Empathy statements that sound memorized or generic. Blaming tone when things go wrong, always a victim mentality. Yep. Complete inability to read the room. Self-pity. Rigid scripting under stress. Very poor impulse control, even in small moments. Rational relationships are always transactional. And fake tears or rage on a dime. So just a few of the red flags that you would see in someone like this. And as I do everything in life, if you see one or two red flags, take a huge pause. And this is where we engage our loving critics in life. Mm-hmm. And because we have our own positive confirmation bias, we want something to go well. We want to have a great, healthy, strong relationship because it's going to affect the other people in our lives and our own lives. This is where you then share with full clarity and honesty and openness with someone else in your life that is more objective, that cares deeply for you, but not that outcome. Say, here's what's going on. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And if you trust this loving critic, you got to listen to those words when they say, get out of that. It's a nightmare. Yeah. And then if you start saying things like, but, or he is, or she is, if you start rationalizing away the behaviors that your loving critic is saying, you're off. Don't do it.
Yeah. Good advice to live by.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And we all need those sometimes. And it's a matter of listening. And I mean, that's part of the reason, you know, when you look at the other folks like the Brian Walshes of the world, the idea of having a loving critic for them doesn't exist because the word critic in there, that hurts the ego. So loving or not, they've already pushed anybody out of their life and not allowed anyone in that would ever be or play that role of critic in any way, shape, or form. So that's how they just continue to maintain the facade that they do, because nobody's ever breaking through. And the empathic person is already so deep in, they can't see, you know, the forest before the trees before the forest.
And it's easy to see that she could get drawn in, again, pure conjecture, by the broken toy that she wants to fix a little six-year-old.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a crazy case. So many red flags with it, but it's messed up. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. This book, Unbreakable Alliances, available right now wherever books are sold, along with all of your other ones, too, which are very good. The Code of Trust. But wait, there's more. Sizing People Up. That's what I got right here right now. I know there's the other ones over there, but there's some options for you. Go check it out. All right. Until next time, for Robin, for Stacey, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering.
With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.